We just started in the book of Genesis a few weeks ago. We're in Genesis chapter number 4. And if you missed stuff, I'm trying to get it uploaded. I didn't upload last week's, but I'm trying to get stuff and keep it loaded, uploaded now to the website. And so on Sunday mornings, I'm just putting it in with the regular sermons, but on Sunday night and Tuesday night, there's a page on there for the New Testament. And Sunday night, there's a page on there for the Old Testament study. And we're just walking through because I feel like so many people think they know, but they really don't. If you know, ask people who these people are. If you ask people who Adam is, most of you know who Adam is. But, you know, when you get on over into Abraham, you know, who is Abraham? Why is he so important? Who is Isaac? Who is Jacob and Esau? And why is Esau mentioned in the New Testament? And so it's important to know these things. Why is Esau mentioned in the Bible? And why does God say, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated? And so if you don't know the story of Jacob and Esau, you don't understand. Well, then when you get on in there, where does Israel come from? Why is there a place called Israel? Well, it comes from a man named Jacob that God renames. Abraham's original name's Abraham. And so if you don't know these things in the Old Testament, the New Testament won't make much sense. But if you'll learn this, walking through, by the way, from the Genesis chapter number 1 to Genesis chapter number 11, there is almost as much time between Genesis 1 through 11 as there is the rest of the Bible. Some will say there's more. But when you do the math, I don't understand where they're getting their math from, because it's 2,000 years, basically, from creation to the time of Babel, or the time that Abraham's called, it's 2,000 years. But from Abraham to the end of the Bible is a little over 2,000 years, almost 2,100 years. But they keep saying it's more time. And I'm like, your math is not mathing for me, okay? Maybe they mean from Genesis 1 through 11 through the rest of the Old Testament, yes, there's more time there. There's 2,000 years covered from Genesis 1 through Genesis chapter 11. There's 2,000 years covered through there. And so it's important for us to know that, because when you are trying to date the Bible and understand the Bible, you need to understand the time frame. We learned this morning in Sunday school. The Bible is not in chronological order. If you try to sit down and read the Bible from front to back, you're really going to be confused. Some of you, if you've never studied out, I'm not trying to be mean tonight, but if you don't understand the Bible, most of us, like me, when I got saved 25 years ago and started reading the Bible, you think Job happens right there in some time during the kingdom age. But it doesn't. Job actually goes into Genesis, in Genesis chapter 1, or around chapter 11, 10, 11, 12, is actually where the book of Job takes place, around the time after the flood, around the time that Abraham is called. That's where Job actually takes place. But yet Job is over there with Psalms. Why is that? Why is Job over there with the book of Psalms? Because the Bible is actually categorized. The first five books are the law. The next however many books from Joshua to Esther is history. And then from Job to Song of Solomon is poetry or wisdom. And then lastly is the prophets. And so all of that's for you, important for you to understand, because if you don't understand that, you'll be really confused about when does this stuff take place, like I was. And so that's the responsibility of the pastor, and for you as Bible students, is to understand these things. And so we started last week. I'm going to go quickly through what we got through last week so we can get through the rest of this chapter. And Genesis 1 covers the first 6 days of creation. Genesis chapter 2 covers the last day of creation, the day that God rested. Then God goes back in chapter number 2 and gives a little bit more details into how he formed man from the dust of the earth. And then in Genesis chapter number 3, we have the fall of man. Adam and Eve sin, they fall and plunge creation into a spiritual death. Spiritually, they died that day. And that's why the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter number 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. If you've never been saved, if you've never repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never been born again by the grace of God, you are still dead spiritually in trespasses and in sins. And that's what the Bible says. And so that's because of what takes place in Genesis chapter number 3. And so then in Genesis chapter 4 is where we started last week. We see here, and I'm going to go quickly through these first 8 verses. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. And the word and the name Cain means I have acquired, I have gotten. And so God gave her, allowed her to bring forth Cain, Cain being the older. I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. Now listen, people often ask questions. Dearness does not mean there's nowhere in here. God gives us a brief description. If God wrote down every person that was born to Adam and Eve, we'd have a whole book of that. So, you know, but here we have the first two brothers born. It does not mean that there's not girls being born. It's not mean even that I believe that Cain is the firstborn. Pretty good chance Abel is the secondborn. But during this time, there's probably other sons and daughters being born unto Cain, unto Adam and Eve. But God's just given us the three that we need to know about. And Cain, Abel, and Seth. And so she says she bare another son or another brother, bare again his brother Abel. And Abel means breath or vapor. And that's prophetic because Abel's life was like an example of us. Even our Bible says in the book of James, what is your life but even as unto a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanisheth away. Abel did not live a long life. He was killed by his brother. We talked about last week. We often say, you know, people ask, do you think these violent movies make a difference? Do you think violent video games and violent music? I believe it does contribute to it. But let me just say, Cain and Abel did not have violent music. Cain and Abel did not have violent video games. Cain and Abel did not have violent movies. And yet, Cain rose up and slew his brother. Violence, it's in the heart of man to do wrong. You don't have to, is what I heard a preacher say, and I corrected myself, because I've always said, children, unless you teach a child, they really don't know things. But then I heard a preacher say recently, I was listening to a message, and he was talking about, how many of you people teach your kids to bite? You don't teach your kids to bite, do you? Has anybody's kid, has any of the three of y'all's kids, did any of them not bite at least once? Miss Daylene, did any of your kids not bite at least once? Brother Joe, Miss Tammy, did y'all's too? Did either one of them, both of them bite? We never had to teach our children. You don't have to teach them. It's in them. You have to teach them to do right. If you don't teach a child, the Bible says a child left to himself, bringing his mother to shame. You must sit down to discipline and teach your children properly. They know how to do violence. We are sinners by nature. We're sinners. It's in us to sin. We're sinners by birth. Because of who your father is, tonight you are a sinner. And you're sinners by choice. When you get to a certain age, you have made a choice to be a sinner. And so here we see that Abel was meant breath. Cain means I have acquired. In the process of time, it came to pass. Cain brought forth the ground, an offering. That's a works-based religion. He's going to work his way into heaven. There's no blood about it. I'm going to do it my way, God, and you're going to accept it. Abel brings of the firstlings of his flock. Listen, when you, in order to bring forth something from the ground, it takes a lot of work. Now, it does take a lot of work for animals, too. But at this point, you got to remember, God cursed the ground for Adam's sake and said of the sweat of thy face, meaning he got sweat to bring forth fruit from the ground. The curse is there, but it's not what it is now. It's not as, I imagine it's probably not as hard for the firstlings for the flock. But as a Abel, all you do, you guide them to water, you guide them to the grass to eat, and you protect them. But God allows and puts it into animals to be able to grow. And so Abel here, he brought forth a blood religion. Listen, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. If you believe in a bloodless religion, there's a big push in that in our day and time to deny the blood of Jesus Christ. According to the Bible, I believe they're heretics. If you deny the blood, you're a heretic. I don't say that lightly. But there's a lot of a big growing movement of people in our day and time. They say the blood means nothing. But yet, the Bible tells us His blood is what washes away our sins. We are cleansed by His blood over and over again. From the sacrifice in Genesis chapter number 3, all the way up till Jesus shed His blood, there is a blood being offered. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And so Abel brought forth, so we see here, the number one, in verses 1 through 2, we see the firstborn children. In verses 5 through 6, we see the first offerings to God made by man. Some bringing forth the works, some bringing forth the blood religion. Verse number 5, it says, and Cain, he gets mad because his offering had God had not respect and was wroth and his countenance fell. He gets mad at God. Can you imagine? God, who are you to deny my way? That's the way man looks at it. Bible says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. The book of Proverbs, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. The ways thereof are the ways of death. God don't care how you want to do it. Have y'all ever, Brother Joe, you ever had somebody on when you worked on job sites? You ever had somebody on job sites, they didn't care how you told them to do it. You didn't care how you, what you said. They did it their way. And then you had to tell them, it's wrong. Take it back down and do it again. I remember doing vinyl. I did vinyl siding. I did it for a couple years. And there was some people. And I'm like, but it's right. I'm like, no, it's not right. And you can reach down there. Vinyl siding's not locked properly. You can reach right over there. You can pull it right off with no trouble. And I reached over there. It was way back down the wall. And I pulled it off. And I said, it's not right. Take it off and do it right. That's the way man. So what do you want to do? If sometimes, not all the time, and it's still not right, you can take the one off above it, pull up just a little bit on there, and try to fudge is what you're trying to do. But what you end up doing is then the panels end up going up and down. If you look across some of them, I did vinyl. I can tell you, looking at walls sometimes, not as good as what I used to, but I can look sometimes and tell whether a panel's locked or not. I can walk right up to them and go, that's not locked, and pull it off. Because you get an eye for those things. But that's what man said, well, God, I don't care what you say. Here's what I want. I'm going to do it my way. Well, you go ahead and do it your way. Hard head. That's what my dad used to tell me. No. Go ahead, hard head. Do it your way, and then you're still going to be turning around doing it the right way, the way I told you when you get done. That's the way Cain said, well, I don't care, God, what you say. I'm going to do it my way. And that's what we have in our day and time. Preacher, I don't care what the Bible says. I've had people tell me this. I know what the Bible says. I don't care what the Bible says. I'm going to do it this way. Will you go ahead and do it that way? I'm just going to believe God. People say, well, you're narrow-minded. Yes, I am. 66 books narrow-minded. I believe this is what God wanted me to have from cover to cover. This is not everything God knows, but this is what God wanted us to know and to have. And so God gave, not only does man have the first offering here, but we see the first warning of sin. God did not warn Adam and Eve. God gave them a commandment, and God told them, you can eat of all the other fruit, but you're not to eat of this one. God gave them a commandment and left them alone. Now we see, here's Cain. God comes to him in verse 6, and we see the first warning here in verses 6 through 8. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If you do what's right, Cain, if you do what I'm asking you to do, will you not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. So we see the first warning of sin. Adam and Eve fell and sinned. But we see the first time right here that word sin is mentioned. What did he do? God warned him, Cain, you're on the verge of sinning because you're wanting to do it your way. You're not wanting to do it the way I told you to do it. Hey, there's been a many of people through the years. You go through and read this Bible. God warned other men the same thing. God warned David. God had given David the law. God gave the nation of Israel the law. God numbered them, the book of Numbers. And after that, God said, don't you number them again. It is a sin to number them again. What did David do? Even though he had warning, he numbered the people. What did God do? God sent a death angel through them and wiped out, I don't even remember how many people it was. God gives us warning. As Christians, God will warn you. The Holy Spirit of God will say, look, you're about to make a mistake. You're about to do wrong. I'm warning you. Those that are not saved, they don't have that. That's why that's the preacher's responsibility to warn people. Sin lieth at the door. And so this is the first time that we see the word sin mentioned in the Bible. Not only that, it's a picture of the door. This is important because Jesus says what in the New Testament? He said, I am the door. It's important for you to know, listen, you've got to make that choice. We all stand at that door. At some point in your life, and you make that decision, whether you're going to accept Christ and go through the door, or you're going to stand on the other side. Judas went so far, he kissed the door and died and went to hell. Judas kissed the door to heaven and died and went to heaven. Died and went to hell. Do you understand that? You can get that close to the door that you can kiss the door and still die and go to hell. If you don't enter in through Jesus Christ, there is no other way. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You're not going to go in by your works, Cain didn't. You're not going to go in by your religion. There's many examples in the Bible of people. Those Pharisees and all, they were keeping the law, they're doing their best, but their religion didn't get them into heaven. You can reject God if you want to. That's your choice. That is your choice. Everyone in here, the Bible says in the book of Titus, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. You have to make that choice. As I said this morning, and I think one of the best ones ever, listen, all those people in Egypt, those Israelites, those Hebrews in Egypt, they all had the choice. Moses went to them. He said, I'm going to tell you what God wants. God wants every one of you to take a lamb for a household. And if the household be too small, go to the neighbor beside them, and you're to kill that lamb. But that wasn't it, was it? Then by faith, they had to pick that blood up with hyssop. And they apply it to the door. See, Jesus Christ has already died. That lamb's already died for you. But that's not enough. By faith, they had to apply the blood to the door. By faith, you have to apply the blood. You have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has already died, as we read this morning there in John chapter number 1. Jesus died for all. But you have to accept it. As many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God. Cain here, God is warning him. We see the first time sin's used, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire. You think, hey, and thou shalt rule over him. Cain, if you do this, you're going to sin, and it's going to be ruling over your life. You think it's going to rule over, you're going to rule over it. There's people, listen, I've heard this for years. Our previous pastor said, I've heard other men now say it. Sin will take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. Do you think those drug addicts sitting out there in California right now, those meth heads and all those people that are strung out on drugs, do you think that's how they started out? Do you think the alcoholic that started out, or the alcoholic that's so drunk that his body's destroyed and he's wrecked his life, he's beat his wife and drove her away, do you think that's how they start out? No. They start out with a drink here and a drink there. Here, you ought to try it. I've been there. I've seen the end of it. I've seen drug addicts. I've seen people that are hooked on drugs. I've seen women that have ruined their life playing the horse woman. I've seen men that are ruining their lives with alcohol and sin, and people will ruin their lives like that. God is trying to warn Cain right here. You think that you're in control, but you're not. Alcohol is one of the worst things. People think they can control it. People think they're in charge. But listen, your desire is going to be to him. Now in verse 8, now, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass. Listen, what did Abel do? Ain't it amazing what sin, how sin distorts people's minds? What did Abel do? Have you ever had somebody get mad at you? I had my brother one time, and I love him. I love him, I do. And I pray for him. I was helping my brother one time. We was wiring up my house. Doing some side work. Both of us was doing some work on the side, and I come to help him wire up my house. He ordered a pizza for us for supper because we were going to be out there late. Pizza got there. I didn't ask him to, hey, here, let me pray over this. Hey, let's pray before we eat. No, I just grabbed a piece of pizza, bowed my head, and prayed. And man, he chewed me out. I didn't say nothing to him. I wasn't trying to force him to pray with me or anything like that, but he got mad because I bowed my head and prayed over my foot. That's it. Listen, Abel didn't do anything to Cain. But it's amazing how when people get in sin and that light of the gospel, that light of the world shines on their life, people get mad at you. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You say, preacher, I've never suffered the persecution. I think you're missing that. Yea, and all that live godly. If you're not living godly, you're not worried about persecution. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. People get mad at you. They'll make fun of you. Ain't amazing. I put it on the sign a while back. And I don't remember who it was. If I did, I would tell you. But it's a long time, older preacher, long gone. Last name's Riley. I think it's his last name. But he said, the world will watch a man die and go to hell. The world will watch a man go into hell and not ever say a word. But let a man try to go to heaven, and they'll do everything they can to try to pull him back and turn him back from him. And I thought, that is the truth, man. If you're going to hell just like them, if you're walking down the same road they are, down on the road to hell, they won't say anything to you. But if you try to live right, you try to live according to the Bible, you try to serve God, you listen, they'll beg you to go out with them to the bar and the honky-tonks. They'll beg you to go to the gentlemen's clubs, which is the worst name ever. There ain't no gentleman ever stepped foot in one of those places. They'll beg you to go to all these wicked places, and they don't think nothing's wrong. But you try to keep them on track, you try to invite them to church, and they'll go, how dare you try to shove your religion down my throat? Wait a minute, you're the same one that was cussing at me, treating me like I'll get out, inviting me out to the bar, wanting me to go have a drink with you, go do drugs with you. It's okay for you to listen to your wicked music and all that, but the second I invite you to church or hand you a tract, I'm shoving my religion down your throat. I think you've got things wrong here. Abel didn't do anything wrong. As far as we know in the story here, there is not any evidence. But yet we see here not only the first murder, but we see here the first hatred of his own brother. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass that when they were in the field that Cain rose up against his brother, against Abel, his brother, and slew him. So we see the first murder. No violent video games. No violent music. No violent movies. Though I'm against some of that stuff. I do believe the kind of music you listen to. Listen, if you want to know whether you're living right, what kind of music, when you walk out of here, what kind of music are you going to put on? The kind of music you listen to on a day-to-day life dictates your Christian life. If you listen to rock music, if you listen to worldly music, if you listen to all that other garbage that fills your head with all kinds of wickedness and lust and all that other mess, that's how you're going to live. Preacher, do you believe Christians can do that? I believe Christians can listen to that kind of music. Matter of fact, we're getting ready to see here Cain's lineage. That's what they got into. By the way, it's no coincidence that music plays a very important role in people's lives. Because when you read in the book of Ezekiel, we see a picture of the devil in heaven, and the Bible talks about that he had pipes and all this. God had made him for the purpose of serving in some way, shape, or form to deal with music. He was an anointed cherub that God had put in that position for the purpose of music. And that's why music plays a very important role. If you think all these bunch of rock and roll men, listen, I'm not telling you they sold their soul to the devil. They can get right too. They can repent and get right. I hope every one of them repents and gets right because they could be a very good testimony. But if you think somebody like AC/DC and Metallica and all them other, I've listened to all that mess myself. I've been there, done that. If you think they're on the road to heaven, you're crazy. I don't know. I know a lot of people claim Elvis Presley was saved. I don't see how a man could live and lead this world down the road of that kind of music could be in heaven. Now, if he is, he went the same way the rest of us are going, by Jesus Christ, that's for sure. But I give you testimony of a man that repented and changed his ways before he died. Old country singer. And Charlie Daniels said he got saved a few years before he passed away. Matter of fact, they said that he no longer wanted that version of The Devil Went Down to Georgia. He didn't want that version out there anymore where he cussed in it. That's how much he had changed his life. He didn't want them to play that anymore on the radio. He begged them to stop playing that on the radio because God had changed his life. God, look, I hope the man truly did get saved. And you can get saved at the end, but I hate to think that I wasted my whole life singing for the devil. At the end of it, give it to the Lord. You know what the sad part is? There's a many of those people out there today that got their start in churches. That's what the sad truth is. Katy Perry, that's one of the most wicked women out there right now. She got her start in, I think, her grandpa or something. I know Miley Cyrus' grandpa was a Pentecostal preacher, but I think Katy Perry's, somebody in her family was a preacher. She started out singing in churches. So did Miley Cyrus. I think Beyonce was one of them too. All those started out singing in churches. And you know what happened? They never gave their heart and life to Jesus Christ because if they did, they wouldn't have gone down that road. And they're out singing the devil's music. If you think that stuff's hot, you're crazy. And if you think they go out and sing about getting drunk on Saturday night and then turn around and sing all these godly songs, well, they sing Amazing Grace. Yeah, whoop-de-doo. The devils believe and tremble too, the Bible says. I got to move on. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. Lord, forgive me. I'm not sorry. I hope I stepped on your heart, your toes. I hope maybe somebody will go out here and say, "Preacher, you're right. I need to lay that music down." I'm telling you, I've been there, by the way. I've been there. I'm not saying it to be mean. I've been there. I've been hindered in my Christian life by continuing to listen to the wrong kind of music. When I got saved, man, it didn't take me long because the Holy Spirit of God convicts you. But then you'll find one good that's not that bad. You know, it's not really that bad. And you'll listen to it. Then they'll go to the next one. It'll be next thing you know, you'll be off listening to a bunch of... As many preachers have said, if you want to dig through the septic tank for a biscuit, you go right ahead. Some of you, maybe you don't. If you listen, there's stuff sometimes in the septic tank that... You know, food wise, but if you want to dig through there for it, you're crazy. That's the same way with the world of music. If you think there's something good in there, you're greatly mistaken. All right, verses 9 through 15 now. Here we got now the second dealing of God with man about sin. And the Lord said unto Cain, "Where is Abel thy brother?" Here's the same way God dealt with Abel, with Cain, the same way that he tried dealing with Adam and Eve. You need, listen, God, that's how the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, when he has come, the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin. He gave Cain an opportunity to fall down, repent, say, "God, I have sinned against you, and in your sight, I have killed my brother." But did he? He lied. He said, "Well, am I my brother's keeper?" He said, "I know not." He knew exactly where his body was. He knew exactly what he had done, but he said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." Go with me. If you're looking in your Bible, if you want to hold your place, come go with me to Hebrews 12:24. Is the cross reference to this real quick. Here's what the Bible says about Abel's mentioned over here in the New Testament. Again, if you didn't know who Abel was and you don't know this story, you wouldn't understand the significance of this. Hebrews 12:24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant and the sprinkling of blood, speaketh of better things than that of Abel. Abel was killed by his brother. So was Jesus killed by his brethren. Abel's blood was shed and cried out from the ground. But Jesus' blood speaks of something better, a new covenant, that we don't have to die in our sins. Cain could have repented. Cain could have got right at any time. He just continues on. He said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy blood, brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth." And Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." Not one time does he ever say, "God, I'm sorry, I did wrong. Lord, forgive me." He just says, "Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear." By the way, there's some false teachings out there, so let me go ahead and address them. One of the false teachings that's out there is that the mark that God sets on Cain was dark skin, and that black people, that some of them were, that's why they have dark skins, because they're cursed right here because of this. We know this is not true because of why? The flood kills out all of Cain's relatives. Whatever God said is a mark on him, we don't know. I don't know, you don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us. We don't know. I'm not gonna speculate. But so anybody comes up with that stuff, you tell them that's funny. How can that be? Because all of Cain's lineage gets wiped out in the flood. His lineage stops at the flood. But now the things that he does continue on. It goes on. He says, "Driven out from the faith, it's greater than I can bear." Verse 14: "Behold, thou hast driven me." So now we see God's second dealing with sin. He says, "Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." And the Lord said unto him, "Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, hence vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Again, we don't know what the mark was. Don't speculate. Don't get caught up into some of this nonsense that goes on nowadays with some of these questions that people don't. Number two, or next, we see the first separation from God. Now, God is everywhere, and I understand that. But God, it says, verse 16, "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden." And so apparently this time he was already married, because when he goes out, it said Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begot Methuselah, Methuselah begot Methuselah, and Methuselah begot Lamech. And Lamech here commits the next sin. Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other, Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal, and he was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And so now we see the first mention of music right here in the lineage of Cain. And it says here in verse 22, "And Zillah also bear Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer of brass and iron." So now we see people beginning to work with metal. "And the sister of Tubal was Naam. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, 'Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold.'" So whatever, we don't know again what Lamech did, but we know that he apparently murdered somebody. By the way, this is the only one in the Bible that I know of that had multiple wives that is not recorded, and I'm not blaming them. It is the only one in the Bible, the only man in the Bible who does not mention that had multiple wives, committed polygamy, that it does not lay sin to the wives. Every other man who has multiple wives, from Abraham to Jacob to David to Solomon, every other one, and I'm not that necessarily, don't take this the wrong way, ladies. I'm not blaming the women, I'm blaming the men. But every one of them that has multiple wives, that's why we don't believe in polygamy. God never puts his stamp of approval on polygamy. God used men that did commit polygamy, meaning married multiple wives. For those of you that don't know what polygamy means, he had multiple wives. Abraham married Hagar, and we got Ishmael out of it. Every one of them, it causes sin. It causes sin in the home. It causes sin in the problem. We don't know. This is the only one that has multiple wives that we don't know exactly. But you look at Abraham and the sin that it caused in the home. Abraham was married to Sarai, who becomes Sarah. She gives Hagar, the Egyptian, to Abraham to marry. He conceives with her. They have Ishmael. We're still reaping the repercussions of Ishmael to this day because of that. Jacob married multiple wives. Jacob had four wives. He was supposed to, and I understand he got deceived, but this man was a deceiver himself. Jacob married Leah first. He married Rachel second. There was problems in the home. Rachel goes to Jacob because she's not having kids, and she just flat out tells Jacob, listen, give me kids or I'm going to die. And they causes a huge fight in the home. There's a lot of strife in the kids because of the sin of Jacob. Jacob's older sons hated Joseph because they were the children of Rachel, and it caused a lot of problems in the home. Solomon, his heart was taken away from God because of his 700 wives and 300 concubines. David, there was great sin in the home of David because of the multiple wives. And again, I'm not necessarily blaming, don't take that wrong, that I'm blaming the women. I blame the men for doing what they did. God warns, especially the kings of Israel, in the law, God warned them not to take them multiple wives, lest they take their heart away from God. And that's exactly what happened to them. David married multiple women, had multiple wives. One of his sons ends up killing a bunch of his other kids. One of his sons ends up messing around with his half-sister. It kind of causes great sin in the home. There's a big issue. Absalom, his son, rises up against David and tries to overthrow David. It is a big mess. And so God never put his stamp of approval on polygamy. Did God use men that did? Yes. But the Bible says, especially in the New Testament, let every man have his own wife and every wife have her own husband. God never, throughout this Bible, never put his stamp of approval on polygamy. It is not right. God never intended for that. I'm telling you this because people use that argument for the preacher. People use that argument for the preacher when he gives the qualifications for a bishop in 1 Timothy. Let him be the husband of one wife. People will say, see, God's trying to tell us not to have a man be a bishop, be a pastor that has multiple wives, that's committed polygamy. Nope, God never put a stamp of approval on polygamy. He is talking about divorce and remarriage there in 1 Timothy chapter number 3. God has never wanted a divorced man to be a pastor. And so all that is important for you to know. And so we see here a lot of firsts here in Genesis chapter number 4. We see the first children being born, the first offerings to God being brought by men. The Garden of Eden, we don't know how it worked there exactly, but we see here for sure the first offering. We see the first warning of sin, God warning God will warn you, the Holy Spirit of God. God has given us a conscience. Children have a conscience. When we get saved now, those of us that are saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God living on the inside. He convicts you and tells you not to do those things. If you don't ever feel conviction for doing sin, it's because you're lost. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not going to try to be mean. I'm not trying to be mean. But if you commit sin, if you tell a lie, if you claim to be saved, and you can tell a lie without the convicting of the Holy Spirit, it's because you're not saved. If you claim to be saved and you can steal from somebody without conviction, the Holy Spirit of God convicting you, it's because you are lost. It's because you're not saved. That's what sets the new covenant apart from the old covenant. God said in the Old Testament, He would write the laws on our heart. He does that by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God convicts you, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldliness. We should live righteously and soberly in this present world. So now we see those two men, and I'm done here in just a second. This is coming up. You're going to love this, Lord willing, next week. The 10 men that go from Adam to Noah. The 10 men that go from Adam to Noah, their names mean something and are a picture of the gospel. I'm going to give it to you next week, next Sunday night. I'm going to give you that. They are a picture of the gospel. But Adam meant man or humanity. Seth here, verse 25, and Adam knew his wife again. Again, we don't know how many other children they had. God is only covering these three. Matter of fact, he even tells us in chapter 5, verse 4, that he begot sons and daughters, other sons and daughters. So don't think that Adam and Eve only had three children. They had lots more. We don't know. Adam lived to be 930 years old. You do the math. If he started having children, he was 130 years old when he begat Seth, and so he lived another 100-something years, another 800 years. If he had children every 2 years, imagine how many kids they would have had. I'm just telling you. We don't know how many they had, but we know that he had sons and daughters. Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. Seth means appointed. Appointed or placed. For God, she said, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth and to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And so the man Adam, I'm going to give you these first three. Adam means man. Seth means appointed. And Enos means moral. And so we're going to look at the rest of them next week. This is the lineage of Christ. That's what this is beginning to. This is the lineage of Christ. This is why it's recorded. Not everybody that these people have are recorded. God records for a particular purpose so that we will have the lineage from Adam to Jesus Christ. From the first son of man, or the first son of God, unto the Son of God that redeemed us. If you're here tonight, you've never called on the name of the Lord. If you've never been saved, listen, you may not like it. You may think, well, I didn't get a choice. Doesn't matter. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved. If you've never trusted the Lord, if there's not a day and hour when you can point to and say, Lord, this is when I got... Listen, Jesus is dealing with Nicodemus, a full-grown man. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. There must be a day and a time when you've called upon the name of the Lord. When He did something special in your life, when He changed your life. Listen, when somebody as big as God moves in, you don't forget. You say, preacher, I don't remember. I don't know if I am. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't know and you don't remember... pretty good chance you're not saved. I have not forgotten 25 years later what God did for me when He changed my life. I didn't have to try to quit sinning. I'm not perfect, and I do. Listen, I don't practice sin, but unfortunately I do sometimes sin. But when the Holy Spirit of God moves into your life, He will teach you how to live right. But if you don't have the Spirit, the Bible says you are none of His. If you've never been saved, if there's not a day when you've called on the name of the Lord in repentance and by faith believed in Jesus Christ, don't tell me, preacher, I've always believed. The devils believe and tremble, but that doesn't make you saved. There's got to be a day and a time when you call upon the name of the Lord in salvation. And if you've never done that, you ought to come to this altar. Father, we thank you for the day that you've made. In Jesus' name, if there's one that you've spoken to, Lord, even through this, learning about Cain, Lord, rising up and slaying his own brother, God, maybe through this you've spoken to one that needs to be saved tonight. May they come before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on tonight if you need to come.